Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today. And Lord, we need to learn how to cooperate with you. The world don't know that, but you definitely have a way of showing us how to cooperate with you so we can have success in whatever we do. And Lord, it doesn't come natural to the world. It doesn't come natural to Christians. We have to seek it out, seek this understanding. And we ask it in Jesus' name today. Amen. Okay, we've been talking about the faction election war 1, and this is number 9. It's getting more and more interesting. Revelations are coming in, and so on and so forth. This is awesome. So anyway, I want to share with you about Trump winning, churches emptying, war, etc. You know, President Trump has amassed many powerful weapons in his armory for this election war. I got a list here of them. I'll just send you through them so you get the picture. It's a little bit outdated, but you'll get the picture. This is from anonymous reporter. President Trump has court cases still pending and will go to the Supreme Court. Thanks to Texas, he now files it under Article 3 and not under Article 2. This forces the Supreme Court to hear this rewritten case. President Trump has the Director of National Intelligence, which was delayed, as we know. Barr stepped down on the 23rd, so he is now able to be a witness. Durham is now a special counsel. He can prosecute in any state, all of Biden's. He is allowing the civil, criminal, and federal courts to fail, so he is able to handle the situation using the military tribunals. I don't know if he's allowing them to fail or not, but they are failing. President Trump has all the data from NSA, the Kraken supercomputer, the Alice supercomputer, and other systems most are not familiar with. He has the dueling electors from 7 state legislatures. He has VP Mike Pence as the final arbiter of ballots to accept on 1-6-20. Some are worried about that. I don't know. He has the Insurrection Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, Emergency Act, the 14th Amendment, the 2018 executive order allowing for the rejection of the election based on proven foreign interference. He has January 27, 2017, the very first presidential Trump executive order. The Patriot Act, the FISA warrants, the declassification of everything, which he's done, including WikiLeaks. President Trump has over 1,000 sworn affidavits. The QR code scan personnel who just needs access to some real ballots, and he can detect if they are fake by looking for creases and printing items using his scanner technology. Trump has all the statistical data being analyzed, the videos, emails, phone calls, bank transfer statements showing the coordination of the coup. We know Zuckerberg, Soros funded and manned it. He has the racketeering influence and the corrupt organization, RICO law passed in 1970. President Trump has crimes against humanity videos, which WikiLeaks just released, massive videos. And as we know, Julian Assange is pardoned so he can talk about Seth Rich. And now that the governors and secretary of states certified the illegal ballots and Biden has accepted them, they knowingly committed treason. Criminals are desperate and stupid. We just raided the solar company and the Dominion closed down. Many media company CEOs are gone. The same goes for many politicians. President Trump has the CIA servers from Germany and used to change Dominion machines, and he will soon have access to states' machines too. He baited them to stay in D.C. so they could be inaugurated. And it actually looked to him for a moment like that was going to happen. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So they can be arrested. Biden has not accepted any transition money, nor has Kamala given up her seat. The military has infiltrated Antifa and BLM, and President Trump has the financial tracings. He knows exactly which politicians took Chinese and Soros money. Oh, and it's a mess of them, too. He put in Miller and Watnick. He also just reduced more regulations and wrote an executive order in the military line of succession. He is defunding the CIA. He just replaced Kissinger and Albright on the National Security Advisory Board with his loyalists. The military has been flying more planes over America and to Gitmo for the first time in years. The DNC wanted to close Gitmo, but President Trump said no way. He wanted to save it for Crooked Hillary. The Navy just parked huge fleets off both coasts. The 82nd Airborne is preparing for an operation. Same group as Flynn and Donahue. Things are falling into place. He has it all, they say. Okay. So all of this looked so very promising. As we forewarned, many of these have appeared to make no headway. There have been many left-wing hindrances, and time is running out. That's the main thing. Time is running out. And as we have pointed out for some time, the Lord has shown us that He will not share His glory with another. He will not allow man to be saved by works. In other words, win by his own means, basically, but has saved the final victory for his own glory and grace. You're saved by grace, God's unmerited favor, right? He doesn't like competing with men. And I know that he put President Trump in there, a very smart man, very capable, but he wants to show some things. And we're going to see that he has saved this final victory for himself. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And he has said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my power is made perfect in weakness." Whose weakness? Our weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." How do you get the power of Christ? Glory in your weaknesses, not your strength. Not look what I can do, look what I got. Look, I got the best lawyers in the whole wide world, etc., etc. God wants to show Himself. You remember I shared Ken Dewey's prophecy, and I'll share just a brief part of it right here because I know some of you are waiting to see, well, what happened? Okay, he said this, "Even as I did send my son to be born, and he was and is my gift to men to be saved, so will I again send a gift. This gift will come in the form of finally finding out who won the elections in America. By Christmas, news will be coming out in favor of President Donald Trump to remain as president." Whoa, that's pretty specific prophecy. Well, let me say this. On Christmas Day, a thing just like this showed up. And I believe it's going to make possible the giving of this election to President Trump. He was running out of time, and he knew it, for his methods to work. He told his White House staff to pack up and leave. And what was he doing? Well, he was making room for this usurper. But something happened that totally turned this around, so he deleted that order very quickly. What happened? I believe this is it right here. Supreme Court appears ready to deal shocking death blow to Biden. I'm going to read a portion of this. I posted the whole thing, but I'm just going to read a portion of it to you. that I think applies to what we're talking about. And this is by Sorcha Fall. It's What Does It Mean? The thing I like about what they do is they constantly look for repetitions of history. I've never seen them use our famous verses before. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. I've never seen them use that, but they believe it. And they pick things out that are pretty neat, I think. So, anyway, here's this article. Though most critical to notice was all of this leftist insanity occurring in the shadows of the United States Supreme Court, appearing to be readying itself to launch an all-out attack on the Constitution of the United States of America? For a minute, it doesn't make any sense, so I got to read on. In order to deal a death blow to communist Chinese puppet socialist Democratic Party leader Joe Biden and keep President Trump in power. The evidence of which began to emerge on December the 23rd, which was when the White House staff was ordered to stop packing to leave, and told updated information will be shared in the coming days, an order that countermanded the previous one given on December 22nd, telling them to begin packing, thus causing the Security Council members to question what had happened during this 24-hour period to cause this sudden change. Well, remember, his prophecy was it was going to come out in the news, and this is the first place I actually saw it come out, so pay close attention here. The answer to which came into focus when noticing that during the late evening of December 22nd, the Supreme Court released its previous day's order. In the case Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated, Petitioner versus Kathy Bachvar, Secretary of Pennsylvania, et al., a case against this corrupted and fraudulent election, the Supreme Court is expected to join with similar lawsuits against other states. And most important to notice about this order was the Supreme Court telling Pennsylvania to get their answer by January the 22nd. That's perplexing, since January the 20th is the date of the swearing in of the next president. What do they know that we don't know? What do they know that we should know? It appears we're being given more time here, so let's read on. But becomes more clear when noticing that following this order, it saw President Trump posting video messages to the American people and directly stating, "The president and all of America know that Joe Biden manufactured at least 20 million votes to steal this year's election. He did so with the help of China." Yes, that's pretty well known now. Of course, people just deny it until you force them to accept it. Mysterious events strongly suggesting that President Trump and the Supreme Court are operating on a level far beyond superficial leftist media analysis. And one would expect, when noticing that Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, he puts John Roberts here as the Chief Justice at the lead of a bunch of people. And John Roberts, they just fired a shot across his bow. The attorney Lynn pointed out that he was a pedophile. He was on the Lolita Express several times, And he was pictured, there's pictures on the internet of him being on Epstein Island. We wondered what happened to him. He was a very conservative person when he went in office, and he was immediately flipped. And everybody saw it, and he looked really, really guilty. And I knew it had just happened, whatever it was. Well, that's what happened. Okay. So now, let me say this. When he took this shot across his bow and pointed out what he knew about him, could they have swung John Roberts back? You know, well, I don't know. I guess time will tell. They have made some deals like that. Here, let me show you the evidence. Now, you can take this easy, or you can take it hard, or you can take the shot. Okay. So I'll read that again. Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, Supreme Court Justice, Samuel Alito, Supreme Court Justice, Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, Neil Gorsuch, Supreme Court Justice, Brett Kavanaugh, and Supreme Court Justice, Amy Coney Barrett, are all members of the powerful legal organization known as the Federalist Society, which is an organization of conservatives and libertarians that advocates for a textual and originalist interpretation of the United States Constitution. By the way, if Trump is successful, that's exactly where we're headed. They have messed with the Constitution all these years. They're going to go back to the Constitution, the real Constitution. That's the plan. So this Nasara Jasara is going to help implement this plan, and they're going to re-educate all the liberal judges or fire them. So anyway, we'll see how that works out. But not known to the masses of the American people, though most certainly known to all Federalist Society members, it is that the Constitution of the United States of America was entirely constructed from its founding documents known as the Federalist Papers. I'm not sure that's correct. I had somebody point that out to me. So I'm just reading this. I want to get to the important stuff. Okay. And based on Federalist number 2, that's pretty close to number 1, right? Federalist number 2, concerning dangers from foreign force and influence. Federalist number 3, the same subject continued, concerning dangers from foreign force and influence. Number 4, Federalist paper number 4, the same subject continued, concerning dangers from foreign force and influence. And Federalist number 5, the same subject continued, concerning dangers from foreign force and influence. Wonder if the Revolutionary War had anything to do with influencing them in this direction, you know. The greatest fear of the American founding fathers was their nation being corrupted by either foreign force or influence. As you know, that brought us through a war. A fear that extended to foreign powers being able to influence the election of a president. And in Federalist number 68, the mode of electing the president saw Founding Father Alexander Hamilton issuing the questioning statement. He said, "Nothing was more to be desired than that every practicable obstacle should be opposed to cabal, intrigue, and corruption. These most deadly adversaries of Republican government might naturally have been expected to make their approaches from more than one quarter, but chiefly from the desire in foreign powers to gain an improper ascendant in our councils." Who would that be? How could they better gratify this than by raising a creature of their own to the chief magistracy of the Union, like Biden? Mm-hmm. Well, it was obviously a problem back then, and now it's a problem again. So where are we leading with this? Well, I'll read on. It says, what the American founding fathers most feared became a reality when President Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected in 1932. An election during the Great Depression that saw American globalist elites siding with the ascendant National Socialist German Workers' Party, also known as the Nazi Party, as they feared, does this sound familiar? Well, it's the Communist Party now, but does this sound familiar? As they feared Roosevelt would enact policies favorable to the citizens of America that would cut into their profits. Whoa, that's a direct repeat of history, isn't it? That caused these American globalist elites and Nazis to plot to steal the election from Roosevelt. Ah, another repeat of history. And is why history now records that during the tense months between Franklin Roosevelt's election in November and his inauguration in March of 1933, democracy hung in the balance. As it does today. It's a serious situation. Do you want to live the rest of your life under communism? That's the problem. And exactly why democracy hung in the balance was because these deep state operatives forced through the U.S. Congress what history now records as lame duck amendment that was passed by the U.S. Congress on the 2nd of March, 1932, and ratified on the 3rd of January, 1933, is otherwise known as the 20th Amendment. And cut the time, here's the key here, it cut the time between when a president was elected to when they were sworn in to barely 2 months. A strategic move intended to not allow President Roosevelt enough time to go through the courts to contest a stolen election. That's where we are now. But to fight back against saw Roosevelt garnering enough support to make him exempt from this amendment. And on March the 4th, 1933, saw him being sworn in as president, which was followed by a coup being launched against him. Well, that could be true, too. I believe it's in the offing, and I believe that they're ready for it, and we will find out. Because if he's given more time, he can do the things that are needed to be done. I believe that the coup launched will end at the Red Sea. Okay. I don't just believe it. I know it. It's going to end at the Red Sea with Almighty God. Yeah. Of the many American legal scholars who've known for decades that the true purpose of the 20th Amendment was designed to prevent a president from having enough time to contest an election influenced by foreign powers, one of the most noteworthy is Professor R. George Wright at the law department at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. A prodigious legal scholar whose writing, such as this year's The Projected Light Message Cases, a study in the general erosion of free speech theory. Well, we've got that now. We've got no free speech, for goodness sake. And if we get back to the Constitution, we will have free speech. You see, it's all getting back to the Constitution. So, he has been, for decades, cited in some of the most important rulings handed down by the Supreme Court. He is further notable because of his being an Indianapolis neighbor and mentor to Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Though most critical to know about is his being the author and legal scholar of the article, Could a Constitutional Amendment Be Unconstitutional? Wherein he argues, if a constitutional amendment leaves a constitution in such a state that it is smoldering, meaningless wreckage, and extremely internally inconsistent and incoherent, then such an amendment should indeed be declared unconstitutional. True, true. Well, that's the whole deal. These people hate the Constitution. They're communists at heart, and they hate the Constitution. They hate law. They want to be able to do what they've been doing, which is stealing and robbing and plundering and raping and so on and so forth. It's organized crime at its greatest, you know. Reading on, it says, an argument that more than applies to the smoldering, meaningless wreckage of this communist Chinese-influenced American election, whose extremely internally inconsistent and incoherent constraints placed on President Trump by the 20th Amendment so that he can't contest it through the courts, are as absurd as they are dangerous, a reality seemingly noticed by the Supreme Court, and explains their January 22nd order for 2 days after the inauguration. A January 20 inauguration date able to be challenged by President Trump and, if filed and granted by the Supreme Court to be heard, would make this date meaningless. That's what we need right there. Mm-hmm. And restore it to its original date of March the 4th. Yes. And then, of course, it gives the proceedings and orders of the article to be filled out, so on and so forth. You know, this needs to be done, and I believe it will be done. And I believe we'll have backing on the Supreme Court for this to be done. And the United States Supreme Court starts issuing orders above on election cases during the week of Christmas. Okay, so then we get this revelation here, which we're calling Trump Wins, Churches Empty, War. This was given to Mariana Payne on 11/28/20. It's very interesting. Mariana said, in my dream, there were about 20 people in an almost empty megachurch, reminding us of one that we left because it was apostate. I called it a worldly megachurch with a what can God do for me attitude, and empty in spirit. The people were waiting and hanging out in the pews, so there were just a few people. Where were the rest of the people? Well, I think it's getting ready to tell you here. Then over the intercom, an announcement was made. Get this. Trump won. What have we been saying is going to happen when the revelation comes out that Trump won? Well, the deep state anarchists are going to make war on the church. And it will be dangerous to be in a mega church because of burnings and bombings and, get this, DEW weapons, which strike out of the sky. And you never see what happened. But suddenly your church explodes in flames. So there's these people. They're in this mega church. A few left in there that didn't get the memo. And the announcement was made. She said, Isaac and I were sitting in the balcony waiting, and everyone else started to file out towards the foyer of the church. Oh, this announcement did that? Remember why, right? Because this announce everybody knows they're going to make war after this announcement, right? So, started to file out towards the foyer of the church. We came down and were standing in the foyer near a table on the right side. I think that's a play on words, the right side. they were on the right side, and also the sheep Jesus put on the right side, right? And the goats on the left side. So, sitting at the table was President Trump, eating a piece of pie and wearing a lime green polo shirt. His table was positioned near the entrance doors. He's ready to leave too. Anyway, I was confused on why he was dressed casually. Yeah, he doesn't usually dress that way, right? And I asked him why he was wearing that, and he said, "I want to keep it casual." At this point, the entire church congregation were congratulating President Trump as they were filing out, giving him high fives and shaking his hand, because as you know, all the conservatives are behind Trump, even if they're not conservatives as Christians. They're conservatively behind Trump. The congregation began to leave the church after touching him. The congregation was about 4 or 5 wide, and the line of people were endless as they were all filing out of the church. It seemed there were a lot more people leaving the church than the amount of people I saw originally sitting in the pews. And I believe that this is what the Lord told me about this, that this is because this scene will be repeated all over the United States and possibly overseas too. And they have already burned a few in Europe, and they've already burned a bunch here, and we expect all that to get started back up. I think it's still going in Seattle. I'm not sure. Also, the fact that there were only a few people left in the church probably means that the many had already read the handwriting on the wall. Everybody knows what's going to happen when you tell communists no. What do they do? Oh, well, let's vote about it? No, they don't care about that. So they saw the handwriting on the wall, and these were waiting for the people that were still there were waiting for the words, "Trump won," and then they quickly filed out. Yes, so we have really well documented from the Lord in dreams and visions and things and other means that when this revelation gets out, there's going to be a war. And I know how this war is going to end, and I know what it's going to do. I've shared very clearly that this war is going to take down apostate Christianity and false leaders and people who are hindering the kingdom of God. And so he's going to let them go just that far, but then he's going to take them down in what we also call the Red Sea, the Northern Army, Jehoshaphat's War, etc., etc., and on and on. A miracle hand of God bringing down the enemy. So as the crowd was exiting the church, there was a grassy field on the right. This field looked healthy and green. Looked like a place you'd like to want to go sit down on. Well, not if you're trying to hide. On the left was a tall, dense, dark, wooded forest. Now, that looked like a good place to hide, I think. So they're looking for a hiding place, not out in the open or in the light. Also, on the left, Jesus put the goats. And he said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." So this hiding place was on the left, right? You know, I'm telling you, God is going to set some people free through this whole scenario to go and look for him. They're going to realize that their leadership in their church did not have him. And they didn't know what to do, and they didn't know what hit them, and they didn't know these things were coming, and so on and so forth. There's a lot they don't know. Okay. So, she said, leading to the field on the right and the dark wooded area on the left was a dirt sandy road. The congregation was following the path to the dark wooded area on the left. The endless crowd followed the path into the dark woods. Yeah, we got to go hide. And, but Isaac and I were still standing on the right side of the table with President Trump still sitting behind the table. I turned to Isaac and asked, are we going to follow the congregation out of the church? Isaac responded, no, we're going to do our own thing. That's a good thing. Don't follow the crowds. Okay. And I responded, okay, because I have some friends that are going to stay behind and are pregnant, but not yet due. And I want to help deliver their babies when the time comes. Well, that's very interesting. She said, as I walked outside the church, so these people she was talking about were outside the church, to them, they were lying on the ground in a birthing position on the path between the two fields. So they're being birthed out of the apostate church, the called out ones. Right? They all three started to give birth even though they were not due, because they just came out of, this is the major step here, is to break the ice and get out of there, right? If it doesn't look like what you see in the Bible, forget it. And so they started to give birth even though they were not due. The first woman gave birth to a cantaloupe. Well, God hides lots of things, you know, for us to ask him about. And he hides these things from the wise and prudent and reveals it unto babes. Well, what do you think about a cantaloupe? The first thoughts come to me is, that's sweet fruit. And so they're bearing sweet fruit with seeds of regeneration in the midst, right? Now, we know there's only one seed of regeneration. It's the Word of God, don't we? Okay. And the second one gave birth to a potato. Well, this fruit has many eyes that could regenerate. Well, we know there's only one thing that can regenerate. And that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Word of God, right? And the third gave birth also, but I couldn't see what it was. All that was born was delivered on the right side of the path. There you go. We know these are sheep. You know, they're on the right. They've left the mega churches, and they're suddenly bearing fruit. They're ready to bear fruit when they leave the churches. And, you know, I've said for a long time, and pointed out, that we're coming to a place where the people of God have to follow Moses into the wilderness, which the book of Revelation tells us in chapter 12 and chapter 17 is the tribulation period, the first and second half of the tribulation period. So that's where we're going, because history always repeats. Now, I know a lot of people have told a lot of people out there that we're going to fly over the wilderness and go straight to the promised land. But it doesn't work that way. The wilderness is to weed out the unbelievers. See, a lot of people left Egypt. Many of them were a mixed multitude, meaning they were part Egyptian and part Israelite. and that won't get you to the promised land. Okay. So, that's what the wilderness is all about, to weed out the unbelievers. You remember how the believers, Joshua and Caleb, actually made it to the promised land and entered in their bodies into the promised land. And I know the Lord pointed out to me that that represented, these are the people that lived all the way through the wilderness and were alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. So it's a neat trick. You know, I know a lot of people think that's going to happen to everybody. No. The last enemy to be overcome is death. Meaning you have to overcome these other enemies before you get there. Now, in the wilderness, of course, we've got to overcome the beast and the harlot, right? And that's where you get to the place where you can overcome death, is overcoming the beast and the harlot in your life and around you. Because these are a big test. They're going to want you to take the mark of the beast somewhere along in there. You know, and you have to be willing to say no. You have to be willing to give up your life in order to gain your life, according to Jesus, right? So, there's on the right side of the path. Again, all that fruit was born on the right side of the path. That's a good positive wordplay, again. And the sheep are on the right, and they bear the fruit of none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. So then we get this other revelation, which we know comes after that revelation of Trump won. And this other revelation is about war coming from the deep state allies. Sandy Shaw got this on 12/26/20. And Don and Merlene transcribed it. In this dream, Sandy says, I'm in a raft on a large body of water. And I see no land. It's a gray, dreary day. So I just start praying. I'm kneeling in the raft. This is what I say is more important than anything else that we can do, is to pray. Praying is for people that believe God answers prayer. The rest of the people don't pray. They're tired of praying and not getting any answers because they don't pray according to the word or according to the will of God. So they give up after a while. So the people that keep on and endure and pray and do spiritual warfare, these are the valuable people on the earth now. It's them that are going to be answered. Okay. And a lot of people really don't believe God will answer prayer. Or, you know, I mean, think about it. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received it, and you shall have it. You shall have it. You shall have it. You know, if you really believe that, wouldn't you be praying all the time? Yeah. So there's a lot of people not praying, and they really don't believe that. But Jesus gave that as a command. Okay. So Sandy said, I just started praying, kneeling in the raft. I feel a little cold, and I just keep praying. Maybe it's wintertime. Then I can feel the sun come out and hit my back. Oh, praise the Lord. I know how that feels. It's good. Then, to the right of me, I hear noise in the water. And it's President Trump. He is struggling in the water, tired, worn out, trying to grasp at anything. I stick out my hand, and he grabs it. And I pull him into the raft. Ooh. Well, how do we do that? Now, we don't bump into him every day, that's for sure. And we're not out on the ocean, which I believe represents the curse, the destruction, the enemy, when the enemy comes in like a flood. So we're not in that kind of a situation. We are. The enemy is out there and ready and wanting to kill us. If they could, they would. So she sticks out her hand and pulls him into her. How can we do that? How can we pull him out of this goop that he finds himself in? He's trying, working hard, probably like a lot of people, coming to the end of himself and his ability and realizing he needs God. He needs help. It can't be done. Yeah. Some people are very confident. He has a lot of confidence. He's been a very successful person. He has a lot of confidence. He's a very smart man. Not taking anything from him. And God ordained him to do this job. But all of man's efforts don't show the power of God. What shows the power of God is when men come to the end of their efforts and they fail. I believe this great long list of things that he has in his armory are the kind of things that men normally trust in. You know, guns, stored up food, lots of bullets ready to take on an enemy. But it won't work. Not with this kind of military. It won't work at all. You can't defend against what they've got. So a lot of people just die in this kind of a situation. It's not necessary. We can put our trust in God. Sandy was doing the only important thing, you know. And she got Trump in the ark. So I believe prayer for rest and protection for him from the war will do this. It will get him out of the water and into the raft. And we just need to do this. You know, people who spend time doing prayer believe it works, and that's why they get answers. So when I pull him in, his clothing is all tattered. Yep, he's been through the grinder. He wants to talk, and I go, shh, just pray. He's been through all of that, now it's time to pray, okay? Just pray. And as we were praying, the waters were getting rough. You know, sometimes when you pray, things look the opposite. Doesn't matter. You have to endure the trial of your faith, as the Bible says in James chapter 1. The trial of your faith is when you see one thing and you're praying and believing for another. That's a trial of your faith. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, Jesus said, right? And so we have to do that. We have to endure in our faith. Remember what he said. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. How long do you have to believe you receive them? Until they come. And you will have. That's what faith is. The rest is not faith. You're not going to be heard but for your much speaking, Jesus said. The prayers of faith is a prayer believing you've received. Right? And he did say, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for. So he's wanting you to really pray this way for everything that you pray. Well, does he make accommodation for our weaknesses? Yes, he does. And that's where he comes in with the prayer of importunity. But I got to tell you something about the prayer of importunity. It has to end up in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. Even the great importune prayer warriors of old came to a place where they said, I got it. That's it. I can stop now. But then a lot of people got the revelation was, well, I can pray at the beginning and stop and believe. And that's the only thing that gives you enough time to do everything you've got to do. The other, I mean, you can crawl up in a hollow log, you know, and pray and have the squirrels come and feed you, as we've as we've shared before. But you know what? You can pray the prayer of faith and confess him before men and watch him do miracles. Yes. But you have to pray. And it's God's method, his primary method, the one he commands us to always use, is Mark 11 and 24. When you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have it. He didn't say you had to believe you have received for so long. It's just until the end of the trial, right? So pray, saints, pray. I know you're busy. Take time for prayer, and you'll be very, very happy. I remember when I used to work at Exxon in Baton Rouge. At that time, it was the largest complete refinery in the world. And we all came together at lunch and, you know, and prayed and asked God for things. And we didn't have time to go into deep prayer. I mean, we just mentioned our prayer and said, amen. That was it. Because there were a lot of people wanting prayers. And boy, I tell you, it didn't make God any difference. He gave answer after answer after answer. These guys getting their eyes open. They never had answered prayer. Been going to church all their life. They never had answered prayer. Now we were getting miracles. Cancers passing away, and blind eyes opened, and people saved the next day, and, you know, just all kinds of things, you know. And when people realize the power of prayer, and they look at the desperate situation around them, and they finally realize and can finally come to the place I believe President Trump's going to come to. He's tattered. He's worn out. He's tired. Pray for him. Let's do it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you strengthen President Trump and that you remind him of these words, you know, about prayer, and that you put confidence in his heart, and that you ultimately, through all of this, Lord, bring him to this born-again spirit. That's what he really needs. But everybody says he prays, and I believe that they're right. It's just that this is a revelation of his power is made perfect in our weakness. And you know what? We have to come to a place of weakness before we get to see that power quite often. And all of these wonderful things he has at his, you know, beck and call here against the enemy, it's powerful. A lot of people are very confident in those things. That's all they talk about is those things, you know, and the great lawyers he's got and so on and so forth. But you know what? That's not what's going to get it. My power is made perfect in weakness. I will therefore glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, you glory in your weaknesses. You don't glory in your strengths. Because then God knows you're not counting upon your own ability and salvation by works when he wants to save you through grace by your faith. Right? So, I believe these waters that were getting rough probably represents the peoples of the United States and the world. War is coming from the deep state. They're going to attempt a coup. And of course, they've been working on that all along, but I mean, they're going to get more violent about this. Because Trump will win the election battle. He will win it. And so who is it that suddenly, at the last moment here, when he's already told his White House staff, go on home, pack up and go home, what happened when he suddenly, just a little while later, reverses that order? Is something came through. Right, something that gave him more time, which I think was the main ingredient that he needed. So the waters got rough. I think you can plan on it. The waters are going to get rough. People need to learn to trust in God. And then Trump is trying to talk again. And again I said, shh, just pray. Just pray. Then I hear a noise right behind us. It's my son, William, dressed in full battle fatigues. Uh-oh. He's in the armed forces. And he's in the Navy. He reaches out to me, and I grab his hand, and he has a tight grip on it. Yes, because a lot of these guys learn to pray. And, I mean, go back and look at the stories in World War II, you know. A lot of these guys learn to pray in a foxhole, you know. Suddenly, there's a God out there, you know. But they never had time for him before. Now they got nothing but time for him, you know. So, yes, pray for them. Pray for these young guys and girls. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that your mighty power be with these people and that they learn to pray too. The president on down, everybody needs to learn to pray and learn to see that God answers prayer, which they never were impressed with before. So now they have a need. Now they're reaching out to something that's beyond them and their ability. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, Lord, that you impress all of these military people, Lord. Even some of them may die and pass on, but Lord, if they just know you, it really won't matter if they just know you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. So he had a tight grip on Sandy. So hold on by faith there. Then I let go, and behind him I see Navy ships fighting. I see airplanes flying and fighting. Okay, see, here's the war that's going to follow the revelation here, that there's nothing they can do. He's going in there. They have to take it by force. They have to overcome the country with their communist allies, right? So airplanes are flying and fighting. President Trump says, look. And I say, shh, just pray. And that's when I woke up. Now, Sandy's a prayer warrior. She is. She prays a lot, you know. And so this is a good lesson to be learned. Well, there are three navies off of our coast at this time. The Russian, the Chinese, and the U.S. And I believe this will also be a civil war within our own armed forces. A sailor told us the West Coast U.S. Navy is liberal and they don't obey Navy regulations. The East Coast U.S. Navy is conservative, and it's a completely different situation. Sandy said she did not know who was fighting who, because I did ask her that, since there were three different navies out there on each coast. She didn't know who was fighting who, but I believe you're going to see that there are some traitors, holdovers from the Obama regime and the deep state, who have money in the deep state, and who, if Trump goes in there, they will be in big trouble. They'll be found out to be from Epstein Island or something, you know. They'll be in trouble. They know it. So their life depends on it. So they're going to fight. See, she said she didn't know who was fighting who. The bombing in Nashville was on the NSA communications, and the war has begun. I'm going to put an article here which talks about that, the CIA versus the NSA war. These two have been at each other for a long time. And the NSA is pretty much siding with Trump, and the CIA is pretty much siding with the communists. They've been totally invaded and taken over and bribed and done Satanist things, which has caused them to be possessed and so on and so forth. The Christmas Day bombing clearly targeted a building of telecommunications giant AT&T, whose Nashville facilities are also believed to serve a major outpost of the U.S. NSA National Security Agency there. The NSA has long been in rivalry with the CIA, and they're likely now on opposing sides in the Trump versus Biden election fraud controversy. And AT&T is said to have been ready to audit suspected U.S. voting machines, questioning the election of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are backed by George Soros, a partner in creating color revolutions, along with the CIA for decades. That's a couple of quotes from this article here, okay, that I picked out. It's a long article, so I don't have time to go through it very much, but you can. And in this other article I'm looking at, pictures of an incoming missile are very clear. You know, they said it was an RV packed with explosives, but it's baloney. It's all baloney. You can actually see the missile, the vapor trail coming in, you know. And let's see, pictures of an incoming missile are clear enough. Bomb decimates NSA spy hub in Nashville as Americans are told to prepare for war. There's this article, and it's on What Does It Mean also. The other one was Before It's News. This one's What Does It Mean? And also, at the bottom of that article, you're going to see that treasonous generals are fearing Trump calling up the militias, which is provided for in the Constitution. And there's no doubt that he would get, they say, up to 500,000 to 1 million militia members. So the generals are definitely nervous about that because they would lose. And here's another one. Foreign Intelligence Service, SVR, whose initial assessment says this explosion was most likely caused by a low-yield U.S. military thermobaric weapon fired from an aircraft platform. An assessment based on two specific videos of this explosion, which I just explained to you, the first of which shows an unmistakable contrail appearing in the milliseconds before this explosion occurred, and the second of which shows a ground level view of this fireball explosion occurring just feet above the street and not from a vehicle of any kind. So they already know that's a bunch of baloney. The recordings may have come from that vehicle, the recordings of the warning of evacuate. You know, a bomb is going to go off, you know, whatever. That could have come from it, but the bomb wasn't there. And, of course, this takes some technology. People with a bomb like that, that's not just any yahoo out there, you know. That's somebody in the military. And who further state that the target of this explosion was, without any doubt, the National Security Agency, NSA, which is very much sided with Trump. And there's been little wars. I remember back when Trump first took office, the CIA tried to force their way into the NSA to gain some kind, and there was a gun battle, and the CIA lost it. So they you see, there are factions in the government. And let's see, here's another article from Natural News. Explosion was actually a missile strike at NSA spy hub. So on. Well, we also believe that this was a missile that came from a plane because of Vanessa Weeks, who saw a plane damage Nashville in a dream on 9, 9, and 20. And I believe I did share this with you. She said, I knew there was destruction happening all over the world. I had a sense that President Trump wanted the election to be delayed. That's possible because you see this new economic system that's coming is going to demand an election of the president and government officials within 120 days. So basically, there is if he stays in office, and I believe he will, and I believe the time will make it so that he will be able to stay in office, then there's another election coming down the road. So he could very well want to delay this one. There's not much use in doing it twice. But Nisara Jasara, is demanding this, and I pray it works. Some people say, well, David, don't you know this is all leading towards the mark of the beast? Yes, I do. And I know that God's going to use the mark of the beast to separate his people from those who are actually not his people, because they have the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which is the spiritual mark of the beast on the forehead and on the hand. Yes, God is the one who prophesied this coming mark of the beast. He didn't say, I'm not going to let it happen. He prophesied it. It's a way to separate the wheat from the tares. And it's going to happen. So you think I'm worried about Trump making it easy for the next guys? Because that's really actually going to happen. Let me say, all the power that he has now, which he's going to need to do what he's got to do, is going to change hands one day. And then it'll all be turned around. And they'll be rounding up Christians. But that's written in the Bible. You can't stop that. Some people act as though they're going to stop all these things. No, you just have to make sure when the day comes, you make the right decision. Right? And there's a lot of people making wrong decisions today, and they think they'll stand up to the mark of the beast when they can't buy or sell without the mark. They think they'll do that, which is crazy. If you're not going to do it now, if you're not going to stand up for the Lord now, what do you think you're going to do then? When the real pressure is put on. I say, you need to turn to the Lord now. So she said, I knew that there was destruction happening all over the world, and I had a sense that President Trump wanted the election to be delayed. I was sitting down, and then I saw to my right a jet with its light on. Well, which meant it was in the evening, right? I thought that looks normal. Then it flew in parallel with the horizon at lightning speed. I stood up then, and as I watched it, I knew it was going to Nashville to do some damage. And it did. The Lord gave me Isaiah 63:1 when I asked him about the destruction to the plains that were in the form of clouds. And I received it by faith at random. And in context, Isaiah 63:1-6, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Why is God giving her this to confirm this situation? It's a war. It's a war between the leftists and the rightists. It's a war between those who hate their brother and are willing to kill their brother and take his land, like Edom did. Edom was the seed of Esau, who sold his birthright, right, and was destroyed, and destroyed his seat in heavenly places. Which is the plains being destroyed, right? in Christ, through bitterness against his brother Jacob, who was then called Israel. He will rule as God, right? Who is a type of the church. So we have these criminals in the church who are full of hate and slander and railing, and they have the mentality of communists or Islamics, radical Islamics. They have that kind of a mentality. You don't want to do it? I'll make you do it. I'm the one to judge you. I've been called to judge you. I'm the one in control here. It's a me thing, you know. Well, that's the way these people are. They don't care about democracy. They don't care about the law of the Constitution or the law of God. They don't care about any of that. They want to force themselves on you because they're demon-possessed. And I'm talking about both factions, the one in the church and the one in the government. Hebrews 12, 15 through 17 says, "Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God." Now let me tell you, these people are going to fall short of the grace of God. Everywhere in the Bible you see that God raised up the man-child David to conquer the Edomites. And let me say that God has spoken of President Trump as one of his Davids. However, in a political realm, not a spiritual realm. And then the man-child ministry is his better half in the spiritual realm. Okay, so you got both accounted for here. And they both have the same enemies with the same demon possession. Hebrews 12, 15 through 17. "Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falls short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness," can you see it? Yes, of course, "springing up, trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled." You know how many people they have defiled? And you know how powerful it is when you speak slander against someone and you don't obey the rules of the Scriptures, receive not an accusation against an elder except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. God knows about these people. They've been throughout the Bible. They've been against his people throughout the Bible. They're terrorists. "The many be defiled." In the government, they have defiled many because they had the mainstream media out there to send out slander, to deceive everybody about what's really going on. And, of course, we got our own false prophets in the Edomite tribe, you know, that are doing the exact same thing. "Lest there be any fornication." Oh, both sides, both are full of fornication. That's one of the main things. They just love fornication of any kind. "Or profane person," yeah, "as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright." He was reprobated. He sold his birthright. "For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for a change of mind in his father." But "in his father" was added in there. It's in italics. He couldn't change his mind. He couldn't change his mind, which is repent, same meaning, to save his life. He couldn't change his mind. "Though he sought it diligently and with tears," he couldn't change his mind. He was captive to his lusts. He had been turned over to a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1, read it. Both camps have that problem right there. Perversion. Lust. Okay, verse 6. "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah?" Bozrah was the sheepfold of Edom, right? So who is this that's going to do this job? Who is going to actually bring this job to pass? Why did God give her this? Right? "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, that is glorious in his apparel?" marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Okay, sounds like to me God wants the glory for bringing down the Edomites. In the government, in the world, and in the church. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? And he says, I have trodden the wine press alone. Uh-oh. He didn't need any help. He didn't need any help. And of the peoples, there was no man with me. Uh-oh. He didn't need any help. What about a good lawyer, Lord? No, don't need him. Okay. Yea, I trod them in mine anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. So who was it that is going to ultimately be the one to destroy the factions? It's the Lord. He hates them. Yes, he does. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Romans chapter 9. Esau is an evil person here. We're not talking about people in the letter. We're talking about people in the spirit here. Anybody can be saved. Any Edomite can be saved and come into the kingdom, and they're no longer an Edomite. Not spiritually. So we're not talking about that. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. You know what we call that? The Red Sea. They went out there. They changed their minds. They went out there to bring down Israel. And they got taken down. The northern army went out there. They had conquered the northern 10 tribes who worshipped the golden calves and made preachers out of those that weren't ordained. Yeah. They had conquered them. They had brought them down, and they will. And they came up to Jerusalem, the bride, and they were conquered. 185,000 of them bit the dust. Or actually, they never got up off the ground. Went to sleep, woke up dead. The year of my redeemed is come. All right. He is going to redeem his people from these wicked people. The time to save the righteous from the factious. That's what the Lord's going to do. And he says, I'm going to take care of it. You won't have to fight in this battle. That's what he told Jehoshaphat when three major armies were coming against him. You won't have to fight in this. You just go out there and praise the Lord. I'll take care of this. That's weakness. God says his power is made perfect in weakness. Going out there and praising the Lord, where is your spear, man? What about your sword? And I looked, and there was none to help. Oh, my goodness. You don't need any help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. What? The law? Yeah. These people are totally lawless, right? Remember, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of lawlessness? That's what you're seeing. There was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. So we know, Isaiah 53, Jesus is the arm of the Lord. And we know he's coming in the man-child ministry to speak the word. It's not that these people have big muscles, you know, or anything like that. You know, it's just that they're capable by the grace of God to speak the word that comes out of their mouth will come to pass. And my wrath, it upheld me. And I trod down the peoples in mine anger and made them drunk in my wrath. And I poured out their lifeblood upon the earth. Well, so the Nashville attack happened just the way the Revelation says. And then the destruction of the factious will come to pass too, just the way this Revelation speaks, by the hand of the Lord. So pray. Now, God uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, it's true, but he wants to save for his glory the fact that this is a miracle. He marched all his vessels of dishonor down to the Red Sea to attack God's people. And they were fleeing through the crack in the Red Sea. And these people went in behind them. A really dumb thing to do. They went in behind them. But the Lord took them down. He took them down. So, Sandy said, I immediately asked the Lord for a word and got 3 John 1:5-8. My finger was on the number 5. Beloved, thou doest a faithful work. And whatsoever thou doest towards them that are brethren and strangers withal, thou doest a faithful work. Who is he talking to? I personally believe he's talking to people like Sandy. Who is doing this work? Where's the power coming from? Prayer. She stopped President Trump 3 times. Shh. Pray. Pray. Yes, you know, he has all the physical help he could possibly need to normally and naturally fulfill this, but God ain't gonna let it happen. He hasn't been letting it happen, as you noticed. This giving extra time is a miracle. They're taking down an illegal addition to the Constitution, put in there by criminals, to bring us back to the original Constitution, which is what Nasara and Jassara is going to do anyway, and conservatives believe in doing anyway. It's just that they've been fighting all these years against this criminal entity, the deep state. And they are Satanists. And the revelations of the evil that they have done are going to come out. And then none of them will claim to be a deep stater. I guarantee you. Who bear witness to thy love before the church, whom thou wilt do well to set forward on their journey worthily of God. Now, I don't know if the rest of this is supposed to be in there, but I do know that that part was. Her finger was on 5. Because that for the sake of the name they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to welcome such, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. You know, how can we get more done? Look, one angel killed 185,000 of Sennacherib's army, and he totally gave up in the morning. It was over. It was his mighty men, too. They picked out the mighty men. They know the difference. Took them down. One angel. One angel. Grabs Satan, throws him in the lake of fire. What? Just one angel. That's all it took. Some people say, well, why didn't he do that back in Genesis? Because God had to prove who's his and who's not his. And the devil is there as Lord over them, just like he's Lord over the deep state. They bow to him. They sacrifice babies to him, etc., etc., etc. He is the head over the vessels of dishonor. And the faithful prayer warriors, I believe, is who God's talking about in this text, especially verse 5. The faithful prayer warriors, they have a faithful work to do. Nobody, you know, really gets to see their work, you know, quite often. I mean, they see it come to pass, but they don't you know, get much credit. You know, they do their prayers, trusting that God will hear their prayers and that they can change things by prayer and faith in God. And a lot of the rest are trying by faith in government, by faith in lawyers, by faith in, they're trying every other way. But these prayer warriors, they're putting their faith in God. And God's going to reward them for the things that they did in secret. A mighty reward. So, Father, we put our trust in you, Lord. We know that you have the power to bring this to pass, and you have told us from the beginning this is what you were going to do. So I'm not a bit worried. I never have been worried. You know, even when civil war raises up, I ain't going to be worried. I know that God's going to have his way in the midst of the civil war too. He is a sovereign God. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. No one restrains his hand or says unto him, in our language, what are you doing? Yeah. Well, God, we thank you for the victory. We don't know which of these methods will ever be used and or which won't be used and which will totally fail. And it seems like everything has been stonewalled, you know, until we just totally ran out of time. And even President Trump admitted it. Now, I don't think he would have stopped the war. He would have still tried to prove through the courts and everything else that this was a stolen election. But you know, it's a lot harder to get somebody out after you've got put them in than it is to take them out in the first place. You know? And so, it was a great discouragement to him, I think, he was looking at. That's why he told his staff to pack up. At any rate, the extra time, yeah, I believe, is all they're going to need. And even if they run out totally again with time, we already see that God is the one that's going to take down the Edomites. What's his method? Well, if you go in the scriptures, you can see that it was the David man-childs. He used them, but it was God. It's God. It's God. The flesh gets no glory. He can use any vessel. He can use a donkey. In fact, he likes doing stuff like that because nobody gives credit to a donkey. You know? So, well, Lord, we just give thanks unto you and praise unto you, and we thank you for giving us the victory in all of this, Lord. We're just going to stand by. You're encouraging dreams and revelations, Lord, are great. We appreciate them. They teach us. We learn of you. We learn of what you want and how we can cooperate with you and how we can bring your power on the scene by magnifying our weakness. Now, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we can of ourselves do nothing. So what we need is Christ to strengthen us, right? And he works in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. So that's what we need, him to strengthen us. Amen. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing, for strengthening President Trump. Lord, we recently have received, it looked like a small army of people were plotting an overthrow. I'm trying to remember which dream it was now. I get so many of them. And they were very sure they were going to be able to bring him down, Lord. They were very sure. They said he hasn't got a chance. Somebody might remember it. I don't know. And but, Lord, we bring that to an end. It's very simple. We decree a thing. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. We decree that they will fail. It's that simple. Lord, you said speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart that what you say will come to pass and you'll have what you say. So we speak to this coup attempt. We cast it down in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid it. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And another one where a young man who had a gun approached Trump, and it was stopped at the last minute because he had planned on assassinating him. So, Lord, we cast that down, too, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we know that a lot of people don't know why you give dreams and revelations like this. It's so that people will pray. They're not prophecies in many cases. They're just warnings of what can be if you don't pray. First of all, he said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. So when you pray, you can get an answer every time. So why would he give you this if you can pray? Well, that's exactly why he gives us these things, you know, these revelations, is so that we will pray, and we will learn to pray, and we will see God's hand in putting down revolutions like this one of these criminals. They're not allied with the Nazis this time. They're allied with the communists. Eh, big difference. No, really. So, thank you, Father, for bringing them down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for giving victory. And thank you, Lord, for making the enemy so stupid. They are so stupid. I remember Q saying that quite a few times. These people are stupid. And it's true. It's the demons that they have put their trust in to give them strength have made them stupid. And we know this. So it's not as hard to outsmart them. Trump has been all along outsmarting them. And I believe he could do it with both hands tied behind his back. If God permits. And God has permitted, because he wanted people to respect President Trump as his emissary that he put in there to do this job. You know, when Cyrus's army, they did some wondrous things, you know. They diverted the Euphrates River, which went right through the middle of Babylon, with metal gates, bars, that went down into the water itself. And they knew how rivers are. I lived in the area of the Mississippi, and we had Old River and False River. These were loops in the Mississippi that were just cut off. One day it decided, here's a weak spot, and went that way. So Cyrus's army formed a weak spot like that and diverted the Euphrates. And it dropped the water just enough for his army to march underneath the bars that went across the Euphrates River, which was an awesome accomplishment. Yeah, it's just awesome, you know. But it all would have been a failure if the Lord hadn't made sure that the bars on either banks were totally unlocked and unbarred, which he speaks about in the scriptures. You see, the Lord had to open the door, right? And he did it. They marched right on in and took them down. Well, Lord, thank you, Father, for Cyrus, and thank you for bringing down those bars, Lord, just like you said in Isaiah. Yeah. There's no hindrance to a person that's doing your will, Lord. You can remove every hindrance. And Belshazzar, you know, the Babylonian king who was in there partying and saw the handwriting on the wall, and they didn't have anybody that could interpret that. So the queen told him to send for Daniel, and Daniel interpreted it, told him he was found wanting, and that night he was slain, and his kingdom was given to the Medes and the Persians. Amen. That night. Thank you, Father, for the victory that we have. It's a Red Sea that's coming, and it's going to take down these people, and it'll give us some breather time. We need some time ourselves, Lord, to rebuild the kingdom of God, because it's been destroyed by Babylon. Babylon has invaded the churches. They're taken captive to Babylon, the dragon. They don't realize it's a dragon, but it is the dragon. They've been taken captive to the dragon. And they've been ruling over your people, Lord, from Babylon. But we know freedom is in our promised land, Lord. We know that you want to bring us to our promised land. And that's where we're going to be free to do your will, and that's where we're going to be under your ordained leadership. And you're about to remove the fake leadership over God's people, Lord. And this thing, Trump is like Sue Gilbert's dream, I believe it was, where Trump was giving away timepieces to everybody, you know. And we just perceive that God's going to use him to give us time. Give us time. What was the time that Cyrus gave to the people? It was time and money to go and rebuild the kingdom of God. We don't know what the kingdom of God looks like until we read the Bible. And evidently, a whole lot of Babylonish leaders never read the Bible. So they don't know what it looks like either. And they don't even resemble it. So, Father, thank you. Thank you. You're going to make the Bible most important. People are going to go in there and look. You're going to show the house to the house, because they don't know what the house of God is supposed to look like. They think it's a building in most cases, and a preacher standing up front instead of the fivefold ministry, and instead of the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, so on and so forth, the things that you ordained, Lord, instead of all this. And the power of signs and wonders and miracles and prophecies and word of knowledge and word of wisdom and all this, instead of it functioning in a supernatural atmosphere of the gifts of God, they've drug it all down on man's level. Lord, these are not people ordained of you. The swamp needs to be drained. Father, we thank you for doing it. We know that you have the love of your people in mind, that Trump is here simply to give us a little bit of time. I believe he may give us maybe even 3.5 years of the tribulation before he's out and the communists are back and they're there to persecute your people. Make a division between the beast and the Christ with their mark. They're doing a good job, a good work. And thank you, Father, for everything that you do to bring your people to that place of decision and the right decision and so on and so forth. Thank you, Lord, that you have given Trump to give us time. Thank you that you're going to rebuild your kingdom, the real kingdom of God, that looks exactly like what we see in the Bible. We have all of the precedent there. If the precedent is not there, we shouldn't do it. We're warned not to add to or take away from the words of the book, lest the curse be upon us, and we our place be taken out of the tree of life, right? Lord, you said it. You said it. So help us, Lord, to get right back to the Word. It's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that's God. It's the only thing that bears the fruit of God in our hearts. The word sown out of heaven from the sower, Jesus, into the hearts of men. There, the womb in the hearts of men that brings forth the fruit of Jesus Christ, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Oh God, you have the plan. Nobody else has the plan. We have to go by your rule book. You know, just like the country was laid out with a lot of wisdom from men, not perfect, The Constitution was a really good article. It promoted America above the world. And communists have never done anything but fail. And, you know, some foolish people the Chinese themselves have invaded our colleges with people who believe communism works. These people never read history. They believe communism works. How foolish. Killed millions and millions of people. Forced their will on people, made people miserable. It was a total failure. Nobody was motivated to do better than their fellow because they didn't get paid anymore. It just doesn't work for lost man. You know, Lord, you showed me there is a communism that does work, but it's a gift of God where no one needs more than what they need. They work because they're promoting their father's kingdom, and they want because of this motivation of the Holy Spirit to have equality with their brethren. This is a spiritual thing done in the heart of man, but not a thing that's forced by law by a bunch of criminals over unregenerate men who have no motivation like that. So it's evil, and it's wrong, and it has to go. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a little time here before it comes back into power. And it's only going to come back by your grace, Lord, and because it's necessary. That's the only reason it's coming back. And because, Lord, during this time, you are perfecting a bride and a man-child corporate bodies. And during this time, you've used this to do that. But what about the church? The church is going into the wilderness. The woman is going into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So when the church goes into the wilderness, especially the second 3.5 years of the wilderness, they too have to go through a crucifixion. So then you're going to lose the communists again, and they'll be back to do their thing. And Lord, somebody had to put Jesus on the cross. And he said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Somebody had to do that. In Jesus' time, it was the Roman beast that had brought God's people under the thumb. Jesus came along and showed people how to be free. So they didn't even worry about the Romans. They had freedom in themselves. They were free. And Lord, I know that you're going to give the wisdom that you have trained into the man, child, and bride in the wilderness for the church, so that they too can come into the image of Christ, because that's the gospel. So we've been given a little time to do this, to rebuild the kingdom and to bring back the principles of the kingdom and the teachings of the Word of God, which have been so ignored. Because only the seed out of heaven from the sower can bring forth the fruit of Christ 30, 60, and 100 fold. So, Lord, we have to get back to that. And you've been preparing for that. And the devil is fighting furiously against it. He knows that the true word of God will raise up enemies that he can do nothing with. He knows that. And so him and his children of the dragon are out there fighting furiously, trying to bring down websites and trying to destroy teachings and trying to bring disrepute to the teachers and all of this, like he has done throughout history. But he's going to fail because of the grace of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you've given us this victory over the enemy. And they can do nothing with us, Lord, nothing. And all of their foolishness, which they think is wisdom, they attempt to do, and they fail. You know, Trump has got a treasure trove of evidence against the enemy. We do too. We know things they don't know we know. We could put them away at any time whatsoever. Yes, and you know what? They know it. But they don't have sense enough to walk away, because the demons in them drive them with anger and frustration. And the same as what you see out there in the world. The people out there screaming in the street because they got Trump derangement syndrome. Well, there's a man-child derangement syndrome, too. Yes, there is. Thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And thank you that we see the end from the beginning, because you've told us that. And it gives us great faith, Lord. We see the end from the beginning, and the end is glorious. Lord, multitudes of people are going to be swept into the kingdom. Greatest revival the world has ever seen is coming. And, you know, it's coming because people are going to be relieved of a great pressure. And I think that is this war, this battle. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you're just waiting for people to come, even President Trump, to the end of themselves. To the end of themselves. Lord, that's what we're here for, to lose our life, our self-will, our self-aggrandizement, our self-confidence. That's what we're here for, Lord. We get worn down by all of our efforts failing, and I see President Trump going through that. I do. And I know you're going to bring all this to his remembrance one day and point out this lesson, you know. And Sandy's dream had the real answer. Just pray. Just pray. Watch God. So I started out saying about what one angel can do. What can you do compared to one angel? Just one angel. And every one of you out there that belong to Christ, you have at least one angel standing by, unemployed. Unemployed. Put your angel to work. Pray. Believe. Decree. Do warfare. Cast down the works of the enemy. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. All the power? All the power. We've been given dominion. Now, the church is waking up. Oh, well, that's not a right statement. The bride and the man-child are waking up. The church is going to find themselves in the same position. And then there's going to be witnesses to tell them, oh, look, this is what happened with us. This is what happened. And this is how you get there. And you out there that, you know, you're praying for your children and you see that they're just out there with a worldly mind and it just looks like, well, look, their day is coming. They're going to be put in a position where they, you know, like this boy reached out to his mama, grabbed hold of her hand. He was fighting a war, grabbed her hand. And I believe that's going to happen for a lot of you out there, is they're going to come back and say, Mama, Daddy, you are right. You are right. And they're going to listen, because they're in a situation where they have to listen.
Oh, glory be to God. You know, God is so good. You just keep on believing. You keep on confessing. Those kids in the kingdom, keep on doing it, because God's going to do it. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. You don't have to be anxious and troubled when you see them going the wrong way. That's walking by sight. They always, lots of times they go the wrong way. Yeah. It's temporary. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. That's what we have to learn to do, is not waver because of what we see, the foolishness that they're in now. Don't waver. You asked God to save them. You declared victory over their enemies. Now endure in your faith unto the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. The great storms that are coming, they're going to bring these kids into the kingdom. They're going to bring these wandering wives and husbands into the kingdom. Yes. The pressure is going to put them in a position where they know they need God. And even if a person dies, you know, but they make that decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, makes no difference. This is not heaven. Some people would wish it is heaven, but it's not. And heaven is a great place, and it's made for those who have, you know, laid down their life for Christ. And these kids will do it. You keep believing for them. Don't turn loose. Kids have been resurrected from the dead before because mom or daddy said, nope, I claimed them. I ain't letting them go. I claimed them. Well, I claim all of mine in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the great victory you have given unto us, O Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I'm going to let you go. Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for what you put in our hearts, and thank you for what you're going to do, and thank you for the Red Sea, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.